Welcome to Talking New Energy, a podcast from Delta EE, the new energy experts. We'll be talking about how the energy transition is developing across Europe, with guests who are working at the leading edge of this transition. Hello, and welcome to the episode. Today, we're discussing highlights from Europe's biggest meeting place for the energy transition, European Utility Week, held over 3 days in beautiful Paris last week. And the organisers boasted a heady 18,000 visitors. We didn't count them, so we don't know whether that's right, but there sure were a lot of people there. And this year it was actually co-located with an ongoing exhibition called Power Gen Europe, which is more for the megawatt scale gas engines and gas turbine market. I'm here today with my colleagues Arthur Johannek and John Murray, who were part of the Delta EE team in Paris. Hello, Arthur.
Hi, John.
And hello, John.
Hi, John.
So, we might get a bit of trouble, John, with two Johns here. One, you're John with an H, I'm John without an H.
That's right. We'll try and we'll muddle through.
I think we're three of us will manage, won't we?
The trouble will really be for me, actually.
So, between the three of us and our colleagues, we presented at the exhibition, we met clients, we met new people, we talked to our network, we had people come and join us at our booth, we listened to other presentations. So I think a perfect mix of experiences to talk about the highlights and help our listeners understand what was hot at the event, what's changed, what's upcoming, maybe what wasn't there as well that we expected. So we'll have, I think, two highlights from each of us, if that's okay with you both.
Sounds good to me.
And we'll maybe, Arthur, start with you. So what would one of your two highlights or takeaways be, Arthur?
Well, John, I've been attending that conference for the past 7 years now. And what I can tell you is that it was really different back in the days. 7 years ago, you were walking into the European Utility Week and you were facing a marathon of walking from booth to booth, basically. All the companies exhibiting there were huge manufacturing companies having huge booths and really trying to show off how big they are and how great they are to potential utility customers. So that was a very, very formal, you had to be dressed very formally. And this year, what really struck me was the fact that the event was much smaller in a way, but nonetheless with as many companies as it used to have. It's just that the size of the booths and the number of companies were completely different from, in terms of number, size of the booths, completely different from previous years.
And Arthur, are you trying to say people were a lot scruffier as well than they were before?
Yeah, in a way, yeah. There were a lot more of the startup innovation culture compared to a long time ago, which means there was a lot more, let's say, dynamics in the room, a lot more discussion, a lot more fun having between people. Delta E were located next to the innovation hub, which was a lot of small startups showing their cool products and software, and that was a really exciting place to be, so there was really buzzing around. And that wasn't something we have seen before at Utility Week, at least not 7 years ago. So that was really really fun event for us to be at.
And that was one of the things that that I took away as well. It was my first time at European Utility Week, but I have been to the twin event Power Gen Europe before. And while you had the traditional companies that have been there for many years, you know, they were still present, the established utility companies, the network companies, but you had lots of different companies from different backgrounds, like the tech startups, the industry associations, the network companies, and you know, car manufacturers, mobility service providers. They were all there, all exchanging views and giving their perspective on the market. So it was a really great, high energy event to be at.
One thing I noticed that the only two utilities, and you might correct me here, that I saw exhibiting were Centrica with Centrica Business Solutions. And Enedis, the French DSO, maybe because we were in Paris, I don't know. Whereas in previous years, virtually all the big European utilities have had their own stands saying, hey, look at me, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. So they weren't there, although the people were certainly all there. Yeah. And we even had stands from Google focusing on their smart home, Microsoft on some of their capability around energy insights and managing data in the home. So yeah, I think that's a good characterization, John, a real melting pot. And Arthur, do you think more software than hardware, or not at that stage yet, just a bigger mix of software and hardware?
Well, that's the thing is, back in the days, companies were trying to sell physical products to utilities, from electricity products to metering products, etc. And what you really realize is that now no one is really actually selling products anymore. Everyone is talking about how this software works, what it can enable, what kind of services you can provide to utilities. And that's really one of the reasons why the types of companies have changed, is that the ones exhibiting are the ones trying to offer software to utility companies. And that's a very different offer to huge hardware stands like you have back in the days.
Okay. So some still, I think, some big hardware stands were there. So Siemens with a very big portfolio that we're exhibiting. But that's theme number one, is more software and less hardware. John, how about your number one takeaway?
My number one takeaway. Well, I mean, one of the topics that I'm looking at very closely within Delta EE is electric vehicles. And it's been, if not the hot topic of this year, maybe the hot topic of last year. You know, it's a huge thing that's kind of taken the energy world, I guess, by storm over the last few years. So I was there expecting to have lots of conversations with lots of different EV-type players at European Utility Week. And there were lots of people there talking about EVs, but it just wasn't quite of the scale that I had been expecting. I remember when speaking to you guys in previous years, there was a really high energy about electric vehicles. So I was expecting a huge buzz around that. And I had lots of conversations with people, but it just wasn't quite at the scale that I had been expecting.
And John, for me, that's a sign that the utility world, if I can use that slightly all-encompassing word, or the electricity world and the EV world, still have a lot more further to go to come together. I mean, I think our hypothesis here at Delta EE is that they will become, the overlap will become very, very significant, particularly for the utility sector. But I think we're still quite early on in that journey between the two different worlds becoming one. Maybe that's too strong, or getting to know each other better.
Yeah, I think you're right. They're sort of at the fringes, I think, the energy world trying to understand how it can best play into the EV space and vice versa. I guess some companies are a bit more advanced than others when it comes to that interplay, but there's a huge opportunity there, and that's what we're certainly seeing. So I think it's a good observation, John, actually, that there's still that sort of still lots of questions there about the role that energy companies, the utility guys, can play when it comes to moving into the mobility space and vice versa. And one of the other observations that I had is maybe just that there are so many EV events going on today. So maybe an element of sort of EV event fatigue, and there are a few other EV events going on around about the same time. So maybe an element of that as well.
Okay, so I'm going to carry
John. One of the things I realized actually in the utility business is that it seems to me like the EV teams are usually not part of the same teams as the rest of the core innovation services part of the business. And could it be that potentially the guys that we usually see at Utility Week, the people focusing on services and innovation, are not the same guys that are looking at the EV world, and that this is a completely separate business unit for most utilities still?
Yeah, I think there might be something in that, Arthur. If I circle around different utilities in my head, then I think you're right. They generally are quite separate teams, and whether that's right or wrong, I don't know, but it still feels it's like a little arm of most utilities or electricity retailers or electricity companies, and it's got some way to go before it becomes a core part. Maybe that's fair and right, given the small number of EVs on the road at the moment,
But I think it's also an odd that when you look at some of the large utilities, that they are actually investing quite a lot into the EV space, and they are actually developing their own whole teams and business units looking at EVs. So I think it's a nod in how seriously the utility companies are starting to take EVs, but it's just not become integrated into the business as usual part of their main operations.
Well, I'm going to summarise this second point as maybe a bit provocative, but where was the EV sector? So
very good.
So far, more software, less hardware compared to previous years. Second, where was the EV sector? Now it's my go. So my takeaway number one will be around energy insights and services. So I think at previous years, there were a number of energy insight vendors present there. Arthur, you spoke at Elique's Breakfast, for example, event, talking about how they're developing their energy insights business.
And very good it was too, by the way. I was there and you presented very well, Arthur. It was a great conversation.
Thank you very much, John.
What I still see as a lack, though, is customer centricity. And that's a horribly overused word. But there was still a huge amount of what I'd call tech. Look what the tech can do, whether it's a virtual power plant, home energy management, energy insights, a huge amount of, hey, I can do X, I can do Y, I can do handstands, I can do forward rolls. But still, for me, and I'm happy to be challenged by people listening to this, a big lack of developing this into really strong customer propositions. Now we know that people are trying to change that, but I came away from the event thinking, wow, there's still a long way to go here before the sector can say at all that it's energy centric or really becoming more customer centric than it is today.
I kind of disagree with that, John, actually. What we saw a few years ago was two groups of developments, one being this energy monitoring, energy insights software companies, and the other one being this macro generation, home energy management companies trying to optimize self-consumption within the home. And it feels to me like this year, the two worlds are starting to merge a little bit, where the leading home energy management companies are asking this software specialist in energy insights and customer engagement to help them better engage these customers that are really engaging really well with their own self-generation and self-consumption. So at the end, you're right, it's not mainstream yet, but for the new energy world, it seems to me that it starts to be much more integrated with specialist energy customer engagers and software solutions that help home energy management companies do a better job with their customers.
Okay, well, yeah, I take your point that maybe those two worlds of energy insights and home energy management are beginning to merge, and you see capabilities of one and the other and vice versa. What do you think about the point, though, Arthur, that this is still a bit tech push? Because I still saw lots of, we can create a graph of how you use electricity, and most customers just don't care about that. So I still feel there's a long way to go to turn it into really strong service propositions.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, there are more than 25 million customers in Europe using Energy Insight apps. A lot of the apps are actually really good if you look at them. They are less talking about, kilowatt hours and consumption, and they are much more trying to empower the customer to do things about it, to help them on a day-to-day basis. And a lot of these companies now talk about collaboration with the customer. So we see a lot of propositions like energy service or heater service emerging, which require a lot of understanding about the technicality of the devices in the home, but also working with the customer to understand how best to optimize the services. I actually think I've seen a few demos from these products, and I think they are really, really good and engaging, and we could potentially see the chasm being crossed with this sort of products in the next few years. So I'm very optimistic about it.
But the companies that are making these products, though, Arthur, and maybe to you as well, John, they're providing these energy insights, but are they profitable? Are they making money? I mean, they might have millions of customers and doing these cartwheels that John mentioned, but are they, is there money to be made at the moment? on providing these services to customers?
Most of them are on the software as a service business model when they're not owned by a utility itself. And yeah, I think they are making money. They are growing. A lot of them we have seen them 5-6 years ago, and they have been growing quite nicely. Perhaps some of them still require external investors to scale the business up. But I know some of them are doing quite good business in this SaaS business model. And as long as they manage to deliver their products on time with the expectation in collaboration with their utility clients. I don't see why there is no business to do in this space. There will be lots more demand coming forward.
Okay, well, I'm gonna compromise with you, Arthur, and let's say we're takeaway number three is we're on the journey towards more customer-centric propositions and service-based models. And I think you're right. There was evidence of this. I just think it's got, and there were some great companies with some great propositions, but there's, I think, a lot further to go with that. So takeaway number three, on the journey to more customer-centric propositions. So, Arthur, I think we come back to you now for your second takeaway.
So I just mentioned it in the Energy Insights discussion, where some companies need more and more investors. What really struck me was the number of, or the larger presence of investors around the exhibition. Back in the days, there were investors, but mostly focusing on big stuff in energy. And now it seems like there is a lot of VC from oil majors or from utilities. There are new independent group of investors who are seeing an opportunity in new energy. Particularly around the customer end of things. And all of them really believe that having a portfolio of investment in this space will be highly profitable in the future. And I think from 2-3 years ago, this is a big change. People believed at the time that investing in new energy and the customer side of the meter was interesting, but there were better investments to do. And today, these guys seem to think that actually this is the better investment, and they solely focus on that. So, to me, it was one of the clear change from a few years ago to this year.
Yeah, I talked with both a number of investors who are looking for opportunities and a number of companies who are in the middle of raising capital. And I think there's a nice meeting point of more investors, more impact investment money looking for a home. And lots of opportunities to invest. I do think that the energy sector's a potentially tricky sector to invest in because every market is so different. The complexities of the electricity markets, country by country, the policy.
You're relying on policy and regulations,
Yeah. But it is encouraging, I think, that we see this meeting of more capital looking to come to the sector. And obviously the need for capital, as you say, Arthur, to scale these promising businesses.
Yeah. I mean, it's just another example, isn't it? As if it were required of new energy becoming more mainstream and the money follows, isn't it? And you need both, don't you? You need the new energy sector to actually have the credibility and to progress and to provide compelling products and services for customers. But then also you need the financial backing to get to scale, don't you? So.
Well, let's call this more takeaway number four, more investment interest. Anyway, either of you got a better word than interest? Just a bit weak.
Appetite, I'd say. I'd say there is money to make for investors, and that's the big change from before.
More investor interest and appetite. Let's settle with that for number four. John, two more to go, one from you, one from me. So what's your second takeaway?
Yeah, okay, so second takeaway. We've talked a lot about actually what's happened on the European Utility Week side, but let's not forget the other kind of twin event, which was PowerGen Europe. And that's an event that I've been to for a number of years before. And this is really sort of the talking about the hardware, the the gas engines, the gas turbines, you know, the power generation sector, really.
So companies like Rolls-Royce, like Kawasaki,
Siemens, GE, those sorts of familiar names that are sort of go across lots of different verticals, but you know, they've historically been very much involved in the power gen sector. And they were present again at this event with the Power Gen Europe hat on. And my observation here is that in the past, when I've been speaking to these companies for many, many years, there has been maybe sort of a resistance to the change going on in the energy sector to some extent, maybe just not sort of believing necessarily the scale of the change that we're seeing from old energy to new energy, the pace of change, things like that. And that, for me, has in the past led to questions about the role that these sorts of companies can play in the new energy world. But at the event last week, and also in conversations I've been having with the industry more recently, I think these guys have really changed their narrative about new energy and the role in which they can play within that. So much more chat around sort of flexible generation, if you like, so being able to provide dispatchable power generation to complement intermittent renewables, for example, much more in terms of distributed power, local energy systems, microgrids, so providing that sort of very local energy for local consumers, and then also the way in which these companies can use either low carbon or zero carbon gases rather than sort of the fossil fuel gases like natural gas and things like that. So it's an observation that actually this transition is potentially having quite a big impact on these guys. You know, the names we mentioned before. It's taken a while for these companies, I think, to really consider, you know, how best can they play in the future. But actually, I think now they're at the point of actually being able to have a much clearer direction in the role they can play and the propositions that they can develop and to complement this whole new energy world that we are moving towards.
So, John, I'm going to try and characterize that with a key takeaway. So something like old generation finds its niche in new energy?
Yeah. I mean, I think that captures it.
Okay. Niche is maybe a bit unfair. Old generation finds its place in new energy.
Finds its place, complements new energy.
Yeah.
Words to those effect. Because I think that's, you know, there really is a role, a really important role, I think, for that dispatchable generation. Mm. But the key is to look not just in the next 5, 10, 15 years, where around the world there's always going to be a need for, you know, access to power generation, but actually what's going to be the role in sort of 20 or 30 or 40 years time when we're at sort of a net zero. Mm.
So the three elements of that: old energy finds its place in new energy, flexibility, microgrids, and low and zero carbon fuels.
Yep. That captures it.
Okay. Which brings me to I've got a choice of two for my last one. My less serious one is that the Belgian Pavilion served the best beer at the event.
Well, let's start with that one, shall we? What do you think?
The two Johns have been spotted every day at this pavilion. I can attest to this.
Well, yeah, Arthur, you will make the case for the French, I'm sure. But my more serious one is around the flexibility. So for me, it was interesting seeing the different angles on demand-side flexibility. I think there was a number of really interesting home energy management companies looking to aggregate demand from the home, parcel it up in a platform or a virtual power plant, and be able to use that flexibility. And that's not new, but there was a big focus, for example, from the European Federation of Energy Traders, so the mainstream electricity markets, starting to have more focus on flexibility. The start of distribution network companies using flexibility, that emerged a little bit.
We've seen the emergence of that, haven't we, John? I mean, we've been looking at that as a business in terms of the emergence of sort of flexibility markets in some countries. In your view, is that something which is beginning to emerge across all of Europe, or some countries, you know, ahead when it comes to that sort of thing?
I think some are definitely ahead. I think it depends what angle you're taking. If you're looking at distribution networks, the UK or GB is definitely ahead. If you're looking at self-consumption, then that's a German market with PV and some of the inverter manufacturers doing more around that. Companies like Greencom, other companies who've been doing this for a while, looking to monetize the flexibility in different ways for balancing services in the electricity markets, ancillary services for system operators. So I think flexibility across the whole value chain is getting a bigger focus. Arthur, you've been looking at home energy management in this area. What was your views on flexibility? Do you see much change?
Well, the main change is everyone is talking about flexibility in home energy management. That's clear. A lot of companies have their views on what's happening in their own markets, on their own niche, and now they start to sense an opportunity to grow somewhere else and do other things. And the number of questions I've tried to answer linked to these two topics, flexibility and home energy management, is huge. I've pretty much felt like I talked about it for 3 days. So yeah, to me, the interest is really fascinating around this. So whether this is just a buzz or the start of the industry believing in this market, I don't know. But I really believe actually people start to think this is going to grow fast and that they don't want to miss the boat. So yeah, I felt a real buzz around that topic, yes.
Okay, so I'm going to characterize this last one, number six, as flexibility across the whole value chain, from the home to the all elements of the electricity system. I'm going to run through now all six, and then I'm going to ask each of you for what you think the key theme will be next year, if you have to pick out one for next year or the next years. So the first theme was more software and less hardware. The second theme was yours, John, where was the EV sector? The third theme was mine, on the journey towards more customer-centric propositions. Fourth, Arthur, was you about investors, increasing investor interest and appetite in this area. Five, John, was you, cogeneration and old energy finds its role in new energy, flexibility, local energy systems, low and zero carbon fuels. And the last one was flexibility emerging from the home across the whole electricity value chain. So there are our takeaways. Get the crystal ball out now. Put it down on the table.
Very good.
And set it forward from 1 to 3 years. So fairly short term. So Arthur, what are we going to see in the next years at European Utility Week, apart from a change of name?
So yeah, the first thing is the change of name, which I think characterizes the change in the industry. And I think the Utility Week organizers want to do something brand-wise to make sure this happens. But very interesting to see the name changing. But anyway, I think two things will happen next year. First one is the amount of people talking about communities and how we can capture value from energy communities, local energy system, communities, self-consumption, all the stuff around making local communities use, generate their own energy, and how this market will develop in the future. Okay. The second thing actually is maybe not a market, but I really believe Europe is ahead of everyone else in the world in terms of new energy. We are starting to see a few North American, a few Asian companies coming to this event to learn a lot about Europe or to the business. I really believe a lot more non-European companies will come to the European Utility Week, or its future name, to make business, to learn about new energy. And they probably are going to see Europe as a leading continent for the space. So a lot of things are happening, a lot of things will happen in the next few years, and these countries will want to know about it.
Well, you sneaked two in there, Arthur, but I think a sign of that second one already was a big Saudi Arabian delegation. So maybe that's the sign.
Yeah.
We'll see. John, how about you? What one or two?
One or two points. So for me, I'm going to stick my neck out and say the return of heat. Okay. We haven't really talked too much about heat during this episode here. But I think it's one of the biggest challenges I think facing the energy sector as a whole is how you decarbonize heat. So I think we're going to see a lot more of that in the next couple of years, especially around the growth of heat pumps, the removal or the kind of slowdown in terms of new gas boilers going into homes. So lots of talk, I think, about heat pumps, heat as a service, topics like that.
And maybe hydrogen as well?
Well, that's going to be my sub-bullet point to that was hydrogen. We haven't talked about hydrogen really, well, I've mentioned it in the podcast, but it's been one of those topics which could potentially be the hot topic of 2019. And I think we'll certainly hear a lot more about hydrogen in the next 1 to 2 years.
Okay, and my point will be, I think, the thing that we felt maybe could have been stronger this year, which was EVs, because I think what they'll mean for the sector in terms of demand, new business models, new companies coming into the space, flexibility from smart charging of EVs, maybe more in the longer term vehicle to grid, will become such a central part of the electricity sector that it's bound to be a bigger feature at these events.
Yeah.
And John, which country do you think will have the better beer next year in Milan?
In Milan, well, Italy we thought would have a bigger presence. I'm going to stick with the Belgians. You know? I'm a big fan of Belgian beer.
Hopefully there'll be a French stand there as well, Arthur.
We'll do our best.
Although I must say the Belgian beer did run out rather quickly. Maybe that's because it was so popular and so good.
We might have some Scottish beer there. We might have a Tennent stand next year.
Yeah, or Brewdog. Okay, well, beer joking aside, I hope, listeners, you've enjoyed that and got a flavour, if you weren't there, of European Utility Week in Paris. And by flavour, I mean not only the beer flavour, the energy flavour. Arthur, thanks very much. And John, thank you for sharing your insights.
Thanks very much.
Thank you, John and John.
And we avoided any John confusion, John.
Until now, John.
Until now. And we'll look forward to, or I'll look forward to talking with you, my listeners, next week. Thank you very much and goodbye.